A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
There we go. We're back. All right. Welcome back to the new Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the show. Here in Waukesha, and you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Wow, this is just seems surreal, what is taking place, and I'm so glad that Sandy Williams is here to help walk us through some of the rationale and reasons why, because, you know, this is pretty complex and complicated, and the average American citizen, me included, we don't have any concept or idea.
Well, my fear is that the United States is operating out of old habits, essentially old Cold Warrior habits. We've got a president who obviously lived a lifetime within the Cold War, and one of the things that when you look back on this, you realize is that in the 1990s, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia went through a period of time, and I have coffee with a fellow who was involved with the International Commission under Clinton with the Russians to kind of bring them into Western economy. And there was a period in the 90s where Russia, and he was from the intelligence community. The intelligence community believed there was an opportunity for Russia not to be an enemy. But I think lots of the power structure in America got uncomfortable with the notion that we didn't have an enemy. The military-industrial kind of folks really prefer having enemies, at least ones that we don't have to fight actively, but we can arm ourselves against expensively. There was a brief window where Russia wasn't necessarily perceived as the enemy, but what happened was we fell back into the old habit. And we couldn't have gotten to the place we are right now if we hadn't started from the premise that Russia was a bad guy and that Russia was an enemy that we needed to be worried about. And that's what prompted us to talk about expanding NATO into their backyard. I think there were others who thought that we could even have the Putin regime topple as the result of some internal struggles they had with the economy and some pressure we would bring to bear. Who knows? I mean, we have all kinds of interesting manipulation and machinations that go on in our State Department and in our intelligence community. And to be honest with you, the only thing that I had any potential agreement with Donald Trump over in his foreign policy was the notion that we would re-examine the premise of whether Russia was the enemy. And we could re-examine that premise and decide whether there were other paths we could follow. Because if Russia had been brought actively into the Western economy, and if we had not imposed all the sanctions we did in 2014 so that Russia was an open trading economy, maybe Putin couldn't have become sort of the tyrannical autocrat that he's become. Maybe he wouldn't have needed to. Maybe he would have been delivering prosperity during his term to the Russian citizens, and they would have been happy going a different path. But our sanctions meant he couldn't deliver prosperity, and all he could deliver to them was nationalist pride. And furthermore, we were tinkering with Ukraine, and we were tinkering with providing Ukraine the wherewithal to deal with the separatist nationalists who in the east of Ukraine, who are all Russian speakers, and had no real interest in being a part of Ukraine.
You know, Sandy, the average American had no clue that the Russian economy was so small. You kind of think Russia and all the nuclear weapons and all the other things, and we haven't been thinking about whether or not the Russian people were struggling and that they were having a hard time resources.
Well, they've been having a hard time since. I mean, first of all, in the collapse of the 90s, when there was a vacuum, the Russian economy fell into total chaos, and that was a very hard time. People actually were starving in Russia. People who were middle class people were in a very, very tough spot, and we never gave them credit for that. We just watched and grinned with the notion that the communism had collapsed and was being replaced by something that we called capitalism. And what it got replaced by under Yeltsin was much more like cronyism, oligarchism. And the other thing was that because we didn't bring Russia and embrace them and bring them into the West, the rule of law has never taken hold in Russia. So Russia continues to be a very corrupt place, a place where wealthy oligarchs call the dance, where Tom, Dick, and Mary, who live there, don't have a chance to make it on their own merit. And incidentally, so is Ukraine. Ukraine is currently known to be a corrupt cesspool, and one of the conditions that the U.S. keeps talking about in terms of providing aid to the Ukraine is that Ukraine would clean up its act and step into the world of the rule of law. But if we had embraced Russia, I'm just telling you that it's quite clear that the course today could be very, very different. But because we reverted to the premise, our default position is Russia's a bad guy. When you revert to that premise, it becomes impossible to accomplish.
And that's both Democrat and Republican.
Yes, I mean, it absolutely. I mean, anti-Russianism, anti-communism, and anti-Soviet positions converted to anti-Russianism, even though the Russians aren't communist and they aren't Soviet, but it became a litmus that is there for both Republicans and Democrats. You have to prove your mettle by proving how anti-Russian you
are. So is it your belief that Putin and the Russian people, for the most part, agree with the move that he has made because of what they are dealing with their country?
I don't think there's agreement. I think the Russian people probably are quite chagrined that, and probably a little bit surprised that he actually has gone to war. I think the view in Russia was that with the surrounding of Ukraine and all that Putin was saying, that the result of that would be an agreement, and that Putin would get his way in that fashion. And when there was no agreement forthcoming, and maybe the question is, what Putin wanted was something that, as a matter of principle, apparently the United States was unwilling to give, which was this notion that NATO would not invite countries into NATO, and nor would they take countries into NATO that were not currently part of it, that were part of the old USSR, including mainly Ukraine. And so that was a deadlock. And if we could have, I'm sure, sat Ukraine down on the side and said, listen, Ukraine, we aren't going to be able to support you in a war. And so maybe you ought to sign a treaty with Russia saying you aren't going to ask to join NATO. And we, NATO, won't have to say something like we aren't willing to take someone into NATO who wants to join us, because you will have signed a treaty saying you don't want to join us.
So are there any minerals in Ukraine, mineral wealth at all, that it's valuable to Russia?
Well, they had coal, and they speak about it.
Oh, we've got to go to break. Yep. So when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is in the studio. What say you about the troubles of the world? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know...